Chapter 3. The next day we made a pavilion in the valley between the town and the English encampment, stretching two ships' sails between timber poles, the whole thing supported by seal-hide ropes lashed to pegs. And there the English placed three high-backed chairs for King Burgred, King Ethelred and Prince Alfred, and draped the chairs with rich red cloths. Ivar and Ubba sat on milking stools. Both sides brought 30 or 40 men to witness the discussions, which began with an agreement that all weapons were to be piled 20 paces behind the two delegations. I helped carry swords, axes, shields and spears, then went back to listen. Beorka was there, and he spotted me. He smiled. I smiled back. He was standing just behind the young man I took to be Alfred, for though I had heard him in the night, I had not seen him clearly. He alone among the three English leaders was not crowned with a circlet of gold, though he did have a large jewelled cloak brooch that Ivar eyed rapaciously. I saw, as Alfred took his seat, that the prince was thin, long-legged, restless, pale and tall. His face was long, his nose long, his beard short, his cheeks hollow and his mouth pursed. His hair was a nondescript brown, his eyes worried, his brow creased, his hands fidgety and his face frowning. He was only 19, I later learned, but he looked 10 years older. His brother, King Ethelred, was much older, over 30, and he was also long-faced, but burlier, and even more anxious-looking, while Burgred, King of Mercia, was a stubby man, heavy-bearded with a bulging belly and a balding pate. Alfred said something to Beorka, who produced a sheet of parchment and a quill, which he gave to the prince. Beorka then held a small vial of ink so that Alfred could dip the quill and write.
"What is he doing?" Ivar asked.
"He is making notes of our talks," the English interpreter answered.
"Notes?"
"So there is a record, of course."
"He has lost his memory?"
Ivar asked, while Ubba produced a very small knife and began to clean his fingernails. Ragnar pretended to write on his hand, which amused the Danes.
"You are Ivar and Ubba?" Alfred asked through his interpreter.
"They are," our translator answered. Alfred's pen scratched, while his brother and brother-in-law, both kings, seemed content to allow the young prince to question the Danes.
"You are sons of Lothbrok?" Alfred continued.
"Indeed," the interpreter answered.
"And you have a brother, Halfdan?"
"Tell the bastard to shove his writing up his arse,"
Ivar snarled,
"and to shove the quill up after it, and then the ink until he shits black feathers."
"My lord says we are not here to discuss family," the interpreter said suavely, "but to decide your fate."
"And to decide yours,"
Burgred spoke for the first time.
"Our fate?"
Ivar retorted, making the Mercian king quail from the force of his skull gaze.
"Our fate is to water the fields of Mercia with your blood, dung the soil with your flesh, pave it with your bones, and rid it of your filthy stink."
The discussion carried on like that for a long time, both sides threatening, neither yielding. But it had been the English who called for the meeting, and the English who wanted to make peace, and so the terms were slowly hammered out. It took 2 days, and most of us who were listening became bored and lay on the grass in the sunlight.